Touchdown Tampa Bay. You're listening to the PewterCast.
Welcome to the PewterCast. I am Brent Allen, your host, who has decided to show up this week for the midweek show on time, ready to go. Joined, as always, by my good friend right over there, Mr. Ren Dax. Ren.
Hello.
How's your week going, my friend?
Well, we're batting down the hatches here in the, on the coast. What are we on the West Coast? Yeah, West Coast of Florida.
Oh, that's right. You guys have that thing like coming right over your heads right now.
No, it's rain bands. Like, it's not even it's a category one, but like, I don't think it's going to last even a category one. It's going to be people are freaking out. Like, you know,
are they full on?
Well, it always happens. Like, full on. People are boarding up. I understand if you're a restaurant, you're going to close because no one's going to come because it's going to be, you know, blustery and rainy all day. But I mean, a hurricane is 55 miles per hour, and that's at the center. And the center is going to be nowhere near us. So it's going to, you know, it's going to be gusty for a little bit, for, you know, for a few hours. It's going to rain all day. People are losing their goddamn minds.
I'm over here in Jacksonville, so northeast, and they've shifted it where it's going to come like sort of in our general area, but by the time it gets here, it's just going to be a depression, is what they're telling us.
It's called a thunderstorm,
right? So we're all like, basically, okay, sports leagues gets canceled for the day. That's about it. Like, yeah. No, like, you go to the grocery store right now, guess what's on the shelves? Bread and milk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, nobody's worrying about it over here, but I certainly on your guys' side of the state, yeah, I could understand it. But yeah, I don't know. I remember that being a thing in Florida. Like, look, if it doesn't break like Cat 3, Cat 4, like, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm going to the beach.
That's how we roll in Florida, right? Well, I want to say hello to everybody who's joining us. We're doing this a lot earlier than we normally do. Typically, we would record this late on Wednesday, but things worked out to be able to just sort of go here in the middle of the afternoon. So
another Wednesday curveball.
There you go. There you go. So for all of you guys who are home, not doing anything or whatever, however you're watching us out there, hello to those of you that are joining us live, because we're going live like we tend to do these days. Whether you're on Twitter or Facebook, Periscope, PewterCast.live, YouTube, all of you guys out there, hello, hello, hello. We are here in this midweek show after this weekend. Oh, I'm sorry. First of all, happy Veterans Day to everyone out there who has served, is serving, has family, spouses who have served. For me specifically, my father, my brother, my other brother, my father-in-law, I've got a couple of grandpas, lots of friends, my best man for my wedding, and the guy who should have been my best man at my wedding as well, had two of them. They are both currently serving. And so thank you, everyone out there, for your service, and happy Veterans Day to all of you guys out there.
Yes. On my side of the family, it's no one.
There you go. I usually get the, when I go like, yeah, my dad, my brother, my other brother, a couple of grandpas, my father-in-law, people look at me and go, what happened to you?
What happened to me?
So anyway, we are here in this midweek. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Oh, God, look at me. I'm like all out of sorts because this is like right in the middle. Hey, real quick, before we go any further, quick word from our mediocre friends at mybookie.ag.
I think we're the mediocre friends. They're good friends.
That's true. You know, that's 100% right.
We're the bad friends.
We are. We are the ones who make fun of them every time. And they're still like, we just want to play. But with mybookie, look, guys, here's the deal. There's lots of stuff you guys can do. You know what my bookie is. You go out there, you make a bet. You can basically bet on anything. You can do it in the middle of a game if you want. You can do it before the game. It doesn't even just have to be during the game. It doesn't have to be during football. It could be during college ball. It could be, I heard the NBA is getting ready to start back up like again, like really, really soon. College basketball is coming up. You've got, I don't know. You probably could still do something with the presidential election. I know they had that as a thing.
Who's going to win Arizona?
Right. So you have all of that sort of stuff. And whether you're a first-time customer or you have been playing with MyBookie for years, there's no shortage of value to be found in all the stuff that they have out there. So here's the thing that they're doing for us now. You go over to MyBookie, you make a deposit, use our promo code OVERTIME. That's OVERTIME, no spaces, OVERTIME. And what they're going to do is they're going to do a 50% match on your deposit. all the way up to $1,000. So you put in $2,000, they'll give you $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $500. Free money right there. You guys can go, you can play with it. And you guys should have a whole lot of fun. It's free betting money for you guys to get out there and go do that. Betting season, mybookie.ag, use promo code OVERTIME and on with the show.
Yeah.
You didn't interrupt me at all.
I just want to get through that. I am the shit talking friend. You know? My bookie has been nothing but great to me, helps me out all the time, helped me move, you know.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm short $5 and they give me 10.
Right.
And then when they walk away, I talk about what a terrible person they are to everybody around me. Yeah.
Suddenly I have questions about what happens when we sign off at night.
Oh, Cheryl Hill's all about it.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Brent was late again. Changed the time of the pot again. Again.
Yeah.
Said 9:00, showed up at 9:30, did the recording at 9:50.
Right. That's how it works.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Our Wednesday shows.
Yes.
Typically this season we're trying something new. We're trying to get away from the same humdrum talk where you talk about the game and then you talk about the game that we just played some more. And then they talk about the game that we just played some more. Mm-hmm. And then you get the preview episode, the getting you ready for next week.
Yes.
And you talk about that game while also still talking about the game that you just played.
Yes.
This week, especially, I don't ever want to talk about that game again.
No.
Like, the only thing I want to talk about that game is how much I don't want to ever talk about that game again.
Does that count as talking about it?
Not really. Okay, not really.
Just checking. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
And for those of you that'll be like, why are they talking about this? Listen, Friday night, Buck in the News, we're going to be talking about everything that came out from the Buccaneers this week. We're going to be talking about roster moves. We'll talk about the headlines. We'll talk about all of the stuff going on for the game coming up against the Carolina Panthers this weekend. For now, we're going to have some fun.
Yes.
Tell the folks out there what we're talking about tonight.
We are giving our individual top 10 lists of Bucks media members.
Why are we doing that, Ren?
Because it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Also, I mean, look, here's the thing. The Buccaneers media, whether people like it or not, it is, for most all of us, our most frequent and used connect to the team. Those are the media members that we find out what's happening out there. We as fans, we're just like you guys out there. This is how we find out. And there's different folks, strokes for different folks. Different people have different flavors of what they like. And so I will be going through that. So this should be a fun one.
It's going to be interesting.
We haven't seen each other's list, so I don't know where you're going. But I have some suspicions, just because I know you and we've been doing this together a long time, of some of the ones that you've got. And I'll be interested to see if I'm right and where things fall. And hey, listen, for those of you out there playing along at home, whether you're joining us live on the show or whether you're listening to the podcast feed later, the many thousands of you that will do that there, I'll invite you. Email us in your list, your top three, your top four, top five favorite media people that you like to consume.
Or your bottom five. A much more fun, juicy topic.
Or your bottom five. Or if you really want the middle five, however you want to do it, email it in, theputercast@gmail.com.
Didn't make your list and why?
There you go.
I think that's going to be the best part of this whole thing. After we're done, there's going to be people that didn't.
What about that person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
So, Ren, I'll ask you as we go into this, as you were making your list and you thought top 10 Buccaneers media personalities, what were sort of the criteria that you just said, this is how I'm making this decision?
Sure. First off, personalities has nothing to do with it. It's not, you know, it's like she has a great personality. Like none of that, like it doesn't matter. Like it's not about being fun or being relatable or being, you know, giving access to fans like through Twitter, answering their questions. Like that's a little bit of it, but that wasn't the main reason. So it's not really personalities. It's just media members for me. Uh-huh. And I did not include anyone on Buccaneers.com, anybody that works for the Bucks, because even though that, you know, Scott's one of my favorites, we had Casey on, I was uber impressed with her. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked to Carmen Vitale. Everyone loves Carmen.
Yeah.
They, you know what you're going to get from them. It's all going to be positive. You know, mm-hmm. like I refuse to read Buccaneers.com this week because I don't want them to blow smoke up my butt about, Shaq got it. You know, look, Shaq's on pace for, you know, third for pressures. Like I don't want to read that stuff this week. Right. You know, there's no sugarcoating and glossing it coming over. So no one from Buccaneers.com, because I want my list to be able to have to represent people, you know, that tell it like it is and give me the information. When I learn something, you climb up the list. If you talk right. and I learn something most times or every time, not every time, but like most times you speak, you're high on this list. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're not on the list.
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
I also went down that same road that you did of when I pull open Twitter, or I pull open, when I go to set our agenda and our show for Buck in the News and I'm looking for headlines, basically who do I go to? Who are the people that I trust that are going to give us noteworthy headlines that are going to be pretty complete? Like, they're going to have it covered. Like, if it came out, they're the ones who are talking about it.
Yeah. And there's not a question mark at the end of it. Like, I don't have to go and I don't have to go find two more sources. Is that true?
Exactly.
No.
Right.
No, it's true. That's why they tweeted it.
Exactly. Exactly. But I also put in here, I did change. I did not keep out the people from Buccaneers.com.
Okay. That's fair.
Because they are people that I still trust as certain sources. I also factored into it, although it was like third or fourth on the list, of people that I enjoy interacting with, people that I like to hear
that
from.
That went into it. Yeah.
And how they do that. Not necessarily as a personality. Like, are they
fun? Do I want to have a beer with them?
Right. Well, but even like when you think of like the national personalities, you think of like a Shannon Sharpe or a Stephen A. Smith or Ian Rappaport. Like, those are personalities. Like, yeah. I didn't factor that part into it, but I did factor in not fame as much as people that
a dick.
Exactly. Like people that I like to hear from and interact with. And honestly, I enjoy their views, or at least I enjoy their viewpoint, even if I don't always agree with it.
Right.
If that makes sense. So with that, Ren,
I think we're on the same lines here. My bottom five are wacky. Like, it's chock loaded with surprises.
Okay.
The other thing
I think we should point out is, Ren, you are local to the Tampa Bay area.
That's correct.
I am not.
Also
so
correct.
The pool of people that you have to pick from is actually, I think, much larger than my pool of people.
How so?
Well, because you have the people who are local there. Like, you have the local radio guys. You have the local television guys.
You can listen to the local radio guys.
Right, but I don't.
Well, I don't either.
Right, but I don't even know who they are. Like I know who Pat Donovan is. Okay, fine.
Right.
But I don't listen to him. Mm-mm. Because I don't listen to radio. I listen to podcasts and audiobooks and stuff like that.
I listen to the Hamilton soundtrack 24/7.
A lot of times that is true.
That's true. So
my people are going to be generally more along the national ubiquitous, like their stuff is available all the time. I think Alexa just spoke to me.
I think so. Somebody just spoke to you.
So anyway, though, I don't know how much that's going to factor into your list, but my list really, like, I don't have any of the local news people just because I don't know them.
I don't have any of the local news people either. And that's because I don't watch the local news.
All right. Well, there you go. So maybe these will be closer than expected, or maybe those will be wildly different.
But I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Like, if I was going to take in people like, you know, the beat reporter from Channel 8, 10, 13, you know, I'm missing one. 8, 10, 13. I don't know. Two?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know.
8, 10.
But those guys.
Yeah, those guys. And then, you know, there's Chris Torello from Spectrum Sports. But he covers a lot. Like, he covers, you know, high school and the Bulls and not just Buccaneers, but he didn't make my list either. Because I don't watch Spectrum Sports, you know.
Right.
I don't watch it, you know.
Right.
I don't watch any coverage of sports on TV except live events.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't watch ESPN. I don't watch NFL Network. I don't watch Fox Sports.
Uh-huh.
Unless the game's on, then I watch it.
All right. Fair enough. With that, and I should probably say,
no Bay's New Nine, no Bay's New Nine, no Bay News Nine. There we go. I said it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
All right. Well, Ren, I'll toss it over to you first. Then we'll go from the bottom up. Number 10. Right. Let's do the wacky ones. Let's do it.
This person made it because basically they haven't done anything to make me upset yet.
Okay.
We've talked to him, liked him, read one of his articles, maybe the only one he's ever put out so far. Number 10, I got Joey Knight, the new beat reporter.
Yeah.
No beat reporter for the Times. And I know it's a little bit cheating and people are like, boo, like, you know, but he makes the list because there was no one else I deserved to be put on it.
The list was long and then it got short real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is sort of like, no, it's fine. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Everyone deserves to be on the list, but there's a lot of people that don't deserve. Like you could, like I could have put some people on here, like it's seven or eight, but it's like, no, it's like, nope. Because my biggest criteria is, do I learn something from you when you talk about the Buccaneers? Or are you just regurgitating what I've heard, what I've said? Not that you listen to me and regurgitate it, but, you know, is it listening to you talk, it is a replay of what our live show was right after the game.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went with Joey Knight because he hasn't made me mad yet.
There you go. I thought about Joey Knight. He was on my big list, but I did not make him into the top 10. Honestly, he's not been around long enough.
he doesn't have enough articles to qualify.
Right. And for the record, it's more than one. Just so I do follow. I do read the newspaper in Tampa. It is more than one. But he's there. All right. My number 10, Ren, this is guaranteed to make you mad.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
How much of that went into making your list?
Well, I saved it for the number 10 slot because I don't know that the rest of them will do that.
Okay.
But my number 10 is, well, I'll just say it and then I'll say why. Ian Beckles. I knew you'd do that. But here's why. Here's why. The thing that I always say about people who want to start a new Buccaneers podcast, and I apply this to the media as well. If you're going to come in and you're going to start creating content, find out what people are doing and bring something new to the table. Bring a new viewpoint. Talk about it in a way that nobody else is talking about it. Do something different than what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, even production-wise.
Sure. Yeah. Just do it a little bit different and add to the conversation.
Wear a fake mustache and a top hat.
There you go. Put somebody's name on the bottom of your cup and drink out of it every time you want to. Yeah.
So remember, I was just thinking today, I was setting up. Remember when I went live with two eye patches?
Rhinestone cowboy. But anyway, here's the thing. Ian Beckles is the first former Buccaneers player that I remember putting out a podcast. Now his came in form of a podcast and he's since moved over and he's been doing a lot of radio and I know he's done some other things out there. But while I don't often agree with his takes on the Buccaneers, and I certainly a lot of times have issues with the fact that he doesn't even know people's names or how to pronounce them correctly.
Yeah.
He does bring a certain gravitas from his position and where he played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now I know Martin Gramatica's out there, but I don't ever get a chance to listen to him because he's just on the radio.
Right.
But I put ring Ian there because he really is the only one on this list who brings that perspective of being a former player. So for me and my money, Ian Beckles slides in at number 10.
Yeah. Terrible pick.
Told you.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice to hear from Ian from the player's perspective and in the locker room type of deal. He's like, no, this is what's really going on in the locker room because I've been there and you'd listen.
Right.
But he's been on the radio for decades now. He took like a 6-year break, like he got fired or he quit and they brought him back. Mm-hmm. But it's the same story over and over and over. Like it's not that he hasn't changed his opinion, but it hasn't evolved. It hasn't even evolved in the way that he's talked about it. Plus, he played so far long ago, the gravitas is gone.
That's a fair point.
You know, I feel the same way with Brooks and Sapp.
And Sapp, yeah.
Yeah, like, well, this is where you need to play defense. Like, bro, your defense doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Because everyone figured out how to beat it. Like, like the NFL that you played in is not the same, especially, you know, offensive and defensively. So, you know, you've been gone too long to sort of like know what's going on in today's NFL. And like you said, he's lazy. He doesn't pronounce the things right. Like every year I try to give his podcast, his 10-minute podcast, which is 5 minutes of commercials, another try. And then he won't even, like, I think... He said Joe Haig's going to be like playing, he'll back up at left tackle. Uh-huh. And everyone knew that he was back up for the interior line and right tackle because he's never played left tackle. It was for a few snaps, just stuff like that. And you are the afternoon drive guy for a top 20 market in the United States on the only, well, it's not true. There's two, but really there's only one sports talk show. Like you're in the main spot. Everyone's glued. Everyone's going home. Everyone's listening to you. And you're lazy and you don't know how to pronounce people's names and you don't know where people play. And you're just going off, you know, you just have very strong opinions going off. Well, back in my day, but it was over 20 years ago. Yeah. Like, it's just completely changed. So I understand you putting him on there because he does have an element no one else has, but he's just terrible at it.
All right, Ren. Well, with that, why don't we move on to number 9?
Oh, man, this is going to be touchy. I have to word this carefully. Number 9 is Jenna Lane.
Okay.
What I don't like about Jenna Lane is her questions. There's lots of feels. Like, how does that make you feel? Mm-hmm. She has the least amount of leeway to be able to ask the questions she wants to ask. Mm-hmm. No more evident than it was, you know, during training camp when she asked every single person that came up on a Zoom call twice about Tom Brady, because that's where the marching orders were from her mothership.
Right.
Okay.
She has instructions that she has to follow as an employee.
Right. Yeah. Like, you need to ask, like, we need the most information about Tom Brady. So that means you have to ask you're going to use your two questions, and you're going to ask the tight ends coach about Tom Brady, and you're going to ask the DBs coach about Tom Brady. You're going to ask mm-hmm. everybody about Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I love how she brings a different sort of, I don't want to use the word energy, but her style with the players, you know, where I don't really mm-hmm. care for the feeling questions right. to the head coach. But watching her work the players at training camp, they seem to be more at ease with Jenna yes. and they like to talk to Jenna. So that part I like a lot. She's a huge advocate for, you know, the advancement of women in sports. She's always doing shout outs and tweets and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why she's at 9, because what she brings to the room is different than anybody else does. Mm-hmm. But being sort of not having the freedom to talk about what she wants to talk about. Oh, and then Antonio Brown question, like, that was a great question. It had to be asked, and none of the other reporters, where she put BA in a corner and said, "What happens if Antonio Brown's found guilty?"
Gotcha. Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, he won't be on the team." You know, yeah. like that question had to be. No one else was going to ask it. Only Jenna was going to ask that question, and I'm really glad she did. So that's sort of the yin and yang of me with Jenna. With the yang being, you know, what it is. That's why she's at 9 for me.
I understand. Yeah, Jenna is obviously on my list as well. She's not at number 9, but I understand where you're coming from, and I'll talk more about my thoughts on Jenna
sure.
as we get up to that there. But for now, my number 9 is going. This might be a little bit of a surprise. Okay. Maybe not. From the Joe Bucks fan website, Steve Isbitz.
Really?
Clocks in at my number 9. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Steve Isbitz has always been a guy that whenever I've had a personal interaction with him, mm-hmm. it's always been positive. I've never mm-hmm. had a negative interaction. He's a great guy to talk to. I am not a huge fan of the Joe Bucks fan website these days, because it's just not the way that I like to consume media, yeah. you know, and the way that they spin things. And we've made no secret that a long time ago, I stopped listening to the Ira Kaufman podcast because it just...
And I quit after the Chargers game.
Right. And I don't, and frankly, I don't listen to a ton of other Buccaneers podcasts. Mm-hmm. We do what we do here. There's a creative element to not, because I don't want to just copy what other people are doing. But anyway, all of that being said, I like when I listen to Steve, like in the news conferences and stuff, I like sometimes the questions that he's asking, mm-hmm. that he's going after.
I like all his questions.
And I can't pinpoint an example. I just, when you hear Steve's voice, you know what his voice sounds like. You know what Lee sounds like. I always appreciate Steve's,
yeah.
you know? He's a guy that, you know, outside of the constant ad reads that he does on his shows, which people might be feeling like that about me. Like, I get the obligation of that. You know, I think Steve, especially on the podcast, like, he keeps the conversation moving forward, and, you know, he'll allow people to have their wild takes when he goes out there. But I never feel like Steve is a person that I go, "You're a complete idiot."
Right.
You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I feel like he at least has a reasoned, thought out.
You can always follow his thinking process. And right. if you don't, and he explains it, you're like, "Oh, okay, I get it."
Yeah.
Now, probably more than anybody else who's thought process I can follow, instead of just making a knee-jerk reaction or taking in one fact and spinning a whole narrative around it, he's the one I disagree with the most. You know,
is Steve?
The lens yeah. that he views the team through, mm-hmm. I don't like. But everything else, you're right. Like, he you know, he's always been helpful to us. He always has great conversation, never gets his yeah. feelings hurt. And, you know, when he does have opinions, he has a reason for them, you know. Yeah. It's kind of like Tom Jones.
Sure. Yeah. I get that. All right. So Steve Isbitt's for me. Ren,
yes.
Who do you got clocking in at number 8?
Someone a little less controversial, probably the most least controversial person in the whole entire Bucks media staff.
Can I guess?
Yes, you may.
Is it Fred Goodall?
It is.
Oh, yes.
If you don't know who Fred Goodall is, well, then you're not alone. Fred Goodall is the AP reporter, Associated Press reporter for the Buccaneers. He's there every single day. He's in the media room every single day. He never asks a question, never gets in the scrum.
Nope.
I don't even know what he sounds like. He could be mute. For God is all I know. But he cranks out stories for the Associated Press. And for that, where he just stays out of his way and just reports the news in this day and age is such a breath of fresh air. Instead of giving your opinion and trying to spin it this way or that way. But he is milquetoast on milquetoast. Milquetoast calls Fred Goodall milquetoast. Like, this guy is so boring. But
have you ever had an actual conversation with Fred Goodall?
I've said hello to him.
Okay, but did he say hello back?
I think he grunted.
Okay, because that's the thing. Like, I can remember being in the media room, and like, there's this guy just sitting over there working. He's just working. He's not interacting with anybody.
No.
Anybody. And I looked over it at, I think it was Trevor Sikkema at the time, and I went, who's that guy? And he goes, oh, that's Fred Goodall. He's with the AP. And I'm like, that's Fred. First of all, it doesn't look anything like what you would picture Fred Goodall to look like, outside of his pictures like on the byline sometimes, but still not at all what I would picture him look like. But he when you talk about a professional and a guy who works, and he's there to do his job, and that's what he does. I mean, that's straight up Fred Goodall. And I almost had him on my list.
Oh yeah,
I did, but I didn't, because I've never actually had a conversation with, like, not just because I haven't had a conversation with Ubuhu. That's not what I mean. Like, because I've never actually had a chance to read his work out. I don't say never. I have once or twice. It doesn't come across my desk very often.
No,
like, I don't go search the Associated Press.
Yeah.
For Buccaneers content.
I had to go look at the Associated. I had to look it up to make sure I had his name right. I'm like, his name's Fred Goodall, but let me look that up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, the Associated Press beat reporter for the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to scroll down and find an article that was done like 2 days ago. And I clicked on it and said, Fred Goodall. I'm like, yep, that's him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think I've read any of his work.
Yeah.
Ever.
I think I have, like, when it's appeared in like the Tampa Bay Times or different places like that, which, you know, the way the Associated Press puts their stuff out there. But I get it. And I will say this, though, Fred Goodall is a very respected member in that media pool, at least as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. And I think mostly it's because he doesn't say anything. It's like, you cannot. It's like, you
can't
like
be mad at him because.
Exactly. It's like, you don't necessarily like him, but you can.
But you don't not like him either.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't not like him. There's nothing to not like.
He's the guy.
There's nothing there. It's right. It's a white piece of paper.
Did you ever watch the show The IT Crowd?
I did. I've seen.
You know the guy who's like always in the closet. Like, he's there. He's just constantly there. He kind of. They had him dressed up as like a goth guy, but he was just sort of. He was just the ghost in the closet. He was just a guy who was in the closet. That was he always there, but nobody ever talked to him.
I don't think I got that far.
You never got that far. That's kind of Fred. Like, he's just there. He's always there. Nobody ever talks to him. I gotta tell you, if Greg or, you know, Cook or any of those guys, what are you talking about? Fred's like the most jovial guy in the room. They'd probably tell us that. Shows what you guys know. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Let's hear Rory.
In prison. What?
Fred Goodall's hard.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's probably like a degenerate gambler and like with three marriages, the rearview mirror, and like smokes more than I do. You know what I mean?
That would be alternate reality, Fred Goodall, mirror universe, Fred Goodall.
Well, from what we know about him.
Right. Right. Well, my number 8 is coming in at your number 9, Jenna Lane.
All right.
So this is where I put my Jenna. Look, here's the deal. When you go down the list of people that I look for as far as information goes, Jenna is always on the list. You know, like, she's always a person that I check. But frankly, she's usually one of the last people that I check, because what I tend to find with her work, and I think it's mostly because of where she is with ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's the outlet that she works for. There's nothing unique to what she's putting out at ESPN.
Mm-mm.
Like everything that she does there, you find somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jenna doesn't, the types of stuff she puts out at ESPN isn't a whole lot of analysis.
No,
it's a lot of here's what's happening, you know, at the Buccaneers, but it's like, because it's almost like it has to go through this national thing at ESPN and all that kind of stuff. It just always seems to be late or not as in depth or in detail, but it's,
right.
I think it is purely because of where she is at ESPN. It's the type of work she has to put out for ESPN.
Yeah.
Because her audience is not necessarily you and me as much as it is the rest of the NFL world out there.
Yeah.
Looking for news. Does that make, and so it's got to be very boiled down. It's not super in depth.
I know who the ESPN beat reporter is for the Giants. I know who it is for the Cowboys. I don't know any beat reporters for the Giants or the Cowboys.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't know who the newspaper guy is. I don't know who digital people mm-hmm. are. I know, you know, Ed Werner and Sal Pescatore. Like that's all I know.
And like when Jenna goes on TV, she's on for 2 minutes. If that, like 30 seconds, like it's that's her spot. That's what she gets to talk. And I think that gets reflected out there. But when you talk about watching Jenna work, I can't say the room, but let's say the field, when she's out there talking to the players, you're 100% right. When you say she has the ear of the players.
Yeah.
They'll all talk to her and to watch
her, they all trust her.
They do. Right. Right. She's not going to go out and badmouth them or any of that kind of stuff. And they'll talk to her. I mean, that's from the big name people all the way down to the roster turners.
Yeah.
You've seen her. I've seen her out there talking to them. So I have a lot of respect for what she does. I think there's and the fact that she is the one who picked up the ESPN beat. It speaks real highly to her and of what she's
accomplished. It speaks well that they kept her on it when Brady got here.
Fair.
Yeah. That's what speaks to her about her work.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been surprised. I wasn't necessarily looking for it, but it did mm-hmm. go through my mind. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to bring somebody else down.
Yeah.
You know, for training camp. Yeah. But they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. They let her be there. So that being said, so Jenna clocks in because I appreciate the work she does. But for as deep as you and I are into this whole Buccaneers thing, hers isn't necessarily I'm not her audience.
It's not breaking news and you never learn anything.
Exactly. Exactly. But I very much appreciate what she does. And I check out her stuff every single week when I'm looking for Buck in the News stuff. It's always there. I'm checking just to see if it's something. And Jenna's one of the people that, you know, I'll turn on the notifications of her when like it's draft time or when they're doing roster cuts and stuff. Cause she sometimes does get, you know, a tip off on the boys and, you know, that's good to hear as well. So, Jenna clocks in at number 8 for me on my list. Ren, who do you got for number 7?
Number 7. No one's going to know who it is. We talked about radio earlier. Yep. I was going over because quite frankly, I was running out of spaces. I had one empty space and I'm like, no, they don't deserve it. No, they don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. No, they don't deserve it. No, they don't deserve it. So I went with Jay Retcher from 95.3 FM, 98.9. I don't know what they are. They've always been 620. They'll always be 620 to me.
Yeah.
He used to do a show, but now he produces. I don't know if he produces a Ron Ian show. I think he produces a Ron Ian show.
Okay.
But when he had his own show, I always liked his takes. He never said anything stupid. It was always well thought out. And he was well-rounded in all the big three sports here in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And he's not a dick on Twitter. And I just wanted to really there was no one else in the room I wanted to put on. So then I started to branch out to radio. I didn't want to put T-Kraz on because I don't think he's very good. Ronnie Lane doesn't really, he's kind of like Fred Goodall. Like he never says anything. Like there's, you know, he never has really an opinion that sways me at all. Pat and Aaron, you know, they say a bunch of stuff. And then when it blows up in their face, they go, oh, we're just goons. It's very sort of frat boyish, which I'm just too old to kind of enjoy anymore. I don't find sort of like their show entertaining. And Ron Diaz just reads the newspaper on the air. And we've talked about Ian Beckles. So,
right.
So I know it was going Jay Retcher. I think he's the best sports mind at that radio station.
All right. Fair enough. I have absolutely nothing I can say about that because I don't listen to that radio station. I don't know anything about it. So fair enough. My number seven. My number seven is somebody who is not on your list, Ren. I can guarantee it. Because this person doesn't fit your spoken criteria. Okay. From Buccaneers.com, Scott Smith is making my list here at number seven. Look, guys, here's the thing.
Seven?
Number seven, yeah.
Wow, that's low.
You thought that was low?
I do.
Yeah.
28 years, man.
Do what?
28 years.
Well, that's why he's on the list, is 28 years. Because Scott is, listen.
You made
Scott
the list because you haven't been fired.
Do what?
You've made the list because you haven't been fired.
No, he, look, Scott's stuff when he comes out from Buccaneers.com, yes, it is very polished. It is very put out there, but
propaganda.
When Scott comes on this show or when he goes on Locked On Bucks, Scott's a very,
he'll tell it like it is.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, he doesn't actually blow a whole lot of hot air. Now, he's not going to badmouth anybody on the team, but he's also not going to prop them up for something that they're not. And he'll give you his honest opinion on things.
He just says it in the nicest, most positive Buccaneer way possible.
Right. But he's also, I think, like he's got that Rick Stroud kind of aura about him as far as this goes. Like he's been around, he knows what's what, and he knows what's going on. And he kind of, you know, he'll tell you and I think he's got it. I think he understands how teams are built. And with the Rick Stroud thing, especially, like, when people come up with all these crazy conspiracy theories about, oh, you should do this or you should do that. He's like, well, yeah. But keep in mind, this is also what's been going on. And this is also what was happening. And he has a way of explaining where it makes sense. Yeah. And it's not just blowing, like we say, it's not blowing hot air up anybody's butts. Like, it actually, like, okay, that actually, I buy that. So for my money, Scott Smith coming in at number seven on my media list.
Yeah, he's not going to try to prop up Donovan Smith.
Right.
But he won't say anything bad. This is the worst Scott ever says. He goes, well, we'd like for him to play better. I think that's obvious.
Right.
That's about as bad as it gets, you know?
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Buccaneers thought that Donovan Smith would have a better year last year. That's why they paid him the $12 million. But, you know, so, yeah, I like it. He would have been higher on my list if he qualified, but he doesn't.
So, let me talk about why he's actually a little bit lower on my list. Is because the news articles he puts out are not never breaking news.
No.
Like, everybody else beats him to the punch every single time.
Right.
The stuff that he puts out is interesting. And as you say, 28 years, and Scott Smith has a steel trap of a mind.
Yeah.
Like, he can pull out a stat for anything, you know, right off the tip of his tongue, which is amazing how he can do that. But I don't necessarily find the content that comes out of the written content a whole lot from Scott and the way he's reporting on the team. I don't tend to find that super
interesting.
Yeah. But I, like, it is exactly what it needs to be from the guy who is leading the team's website.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's he's really good at what he does. Mm-hmm. It's just not where I want to go to first to get my information.
Exactly. But when Scott's on this show, when you can actually talk to Scott, not just this show, but like I mentioned Locked On, because I know he's over there quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's one of my all time favorite guests. And I love having Scott on the show every time we get a chance to.
Agreed.
Number six.
The last of my curveballs, I guess. Yeah, this is probably the last one. I went with someone who's not even in the market. It's a podcast that is based in Tallahassee.
Oh, those guys.
I went with the Scuttlebucks. Like,
okay. Together as a collective unit, huh?
The what I'm talking about is a Scuttlebucks. It's a podcast that's on Joe Bucks Fan. Mm-hmm. Lee DeKemper calls in every week, so I still get my little Lee.
You get your weekly dose of Lee, get my Lee fix.
But all right, let's start with negative. They're complete Jameis Winston apologists. Yeah. I have listened to every single show this year. I'm not going to listen this week, and I didn't listen to the Chicago show because they think the game is passed by Bruce Arians. They will crap talk Bruce Arians every single show. They will mention Jameis Winston's name still every single show when comparing him to Brady. When Winston was with the team, they were like Jameis one of one. They blamed the play calling. They blamed the running backs. They blamed the wide receivers. They blamed the offensive line. They blamed the defense. They blamed the defensive coordinator. They blamed the head coach. They blamed everybody. It was, well, Jameis doesn't, you know, he can't throw that many interceptions. But them together, even though I don't agree, like, sort of how they view this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. They make really good points, and they know what they're talking about, and they know what they're looking at, and they talk about things that you don't find on any other podcast, and including ours. So they're a really good listen. If you can sort of, if you can, you know, they don't talk about Jameis continuously. They just like mention his name once or twice, an episode in a sentence. Like, they don't break it down. Mm-hmm. And if you can, you know, stomach Lidy Kemper saying three things that make no sense whatsoever, then it's a really good listen. And I appreciate having, I'm a person that appreciates having the opposite. I like to listen to people with different opinions than my own. Mm-hmm. I like to be around people that disagree with me, because if you don't, you never grow, or you never really, it's hard to learn something new, or, you know, look at a situation through a different lens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're on ESPN Radio in Tallahassee, so it's really well produced. It's very polished. They're both radio guys. It's a good listen, no matter if you agree with the content or not. So, yeah, that's where I got the Scuttlebucks. They're coming in at 6 for me.
There you go. I stopped listening to the Scuttlebucks back when Dirk Cutter was still the coach. Actually, I think they took a season off because they didn't have ad sponsors or something. And I never kind of came back to them. But that's interesting to hear you say that, because I didn't know. I didn't know where they were on BA or anything like that. So Scuttlebucks. All right. My number 6. I've got a good feeling I know how you're going to feel about this. I'm just curious how far you're going to express your personal opinion on this one.
Well, you know how I'm known for my restraint, Brent.
From pewterreport.com, frequent guest here on the PewterCast, winner of the PewterCast Guest of the Year, Mark Cook,
is clocking in at
number 6 for me.
Not on my list.
Nah, I'm not surprised. Not surprised. But Mark Cook for me. Look, here's the thing. This is my thing with Mark. One, I like Mark a whole lot.
Me too.
I agree a lot with what Mark says whenever I hear him on the podcast.
I do too.
And here's the thing. I don't care what Mark Cook says. I don't care what he's allowed to say, what he's not allowed to say. Mark Cook, in his heart of hearts, and Mark, you can call me and tell me I'm wrong on this. His heart of hearts.
Yes, he is.
Mark Cook is a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Huge fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He's absolutely a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's
absolutely. He'll melt down once a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He absolutely does. And look, I don't blame Mark for that. Look, he's from Tampa. He grew up watching this team. This is a team that in his heart of hearts, he is. Now, as a member of the media pool, he's not, quote unquote, allowed to be a fan of the team. And Mark Cook conducts himself professionally when he's around the team, and he'll go through those processes. But I appreciate, as somebody who tries to straddle that line a bit between media and fan. And I think, here's the thing. I've never understood the whole idea that you can't be a fan of the team that you're covering. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. It doesn't compute. I know why they would say that, but I think it is 100% possible and absolutely doable that you can separate your fandom from your professional, from your professionalism. And one does not. In fact, I would say that more often than not, being a fan of the team is a more pure and a more honest analysis of the team.
Matters what kind of fan you are.
It does. But okay, I want to say, I think that it can lead you to being a more pure and more honest analysis of the team, because you're willing to call out your team when they suck.
Yeah.
And when they're not doing what they need to be doing.
That's
the kind, and yeah, especially that's if they're not paying thing. Your bill, you know? So it can go overboard sometimes, and you got to be careful of that. But I think Mark Cook straddles that line beautifully. And, you know, Mark Cook, I like Mark Cook, and I like what he brings. I wish we would see a little bit more on the written side from Mark. But with what he does with the podcast and what he brings out, and what I think Mark's duties at Pewter Report, as far like the whatever he is right now, the editor or something
editor
like that,
chief.
I think that limits how much written content he's constantly putting out, because he's overseeing the other guys. But as far as media guys that I'm looking forward to, that I follow, that I enjoy interacting with, Mark Cook makes number 6 on my list.
He doesn't make my list, and it's pretty much all the reasons you named.
Right.
Mark Cook is a fan of the team, period. Like I'll tell it right to his face. And
Mark, I know you're watching right now. Admit it. He's a fan of this team.
He's going to listen or watch this pod, but he's a huge fan of the team.
Yeah.
But I don't learn anything new when I listen to Mark Cook. What he is, he's a very smart fan. You can give Mark any subject on the Buccaneers and he can talk about it for 10 minutes. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. And Mark's a 76er.
And nothing I haven't heard already before. I don't think he's smart, funny. I think he's smart, kind of cute in a goofy way. Mm-hmm. But so he just kind of ruins the podcast experience for me. So that's why
I'm completely on the other side of that. I think he adds
lots
so
of people. I know lots of people love it. Yeah. Lots of people love it. Yeah, it drives me insane. I
know what you're insane. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Cause there are times when it does get derailed. And you're like, okay, let's actually bring it back in. There have been times when I have texted Matt Matera as their producer and gone, hey, really good job bringing the topic back around.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I get it, but I mean, yeah, it's especially for Matt, like it is an editing nightmare when you got people that just go off and rant and rant and rant for 20 minutes. And all you're trying to do is move on to the next topic.
I feel like that's a personal shot, but whatever. So,
Ren, you're one of my favorite people in the world. You really are, buddy.
Sure.
All right. You're number five. No curveballs.
These are fastballs.
Four seamers right down the gullet. Let's hear it.
My number five is Izbits.
Wow. So, really?
All the things you talked about.
Okay. Wow. I did not.
Ira is not making my list. Obviously, uh-huh. DeKemper is not making my list. Yeah. Neither of them deserve it in totally different ways. Uh-huh. But Izbits, like you said, like when he asks a question, I'm like, you know what? I do want to know that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no matter sort of you like, even if you don't like the view or the lens that he views the team as, mm-hmm. He's got his reasons and his reasons make sense. You don't have to agree with them. But I think that you need that type of yin and yang in that room, because if everyone asks the same type of questions, the pressers are boring. And like Izbits hasn't been there a while and the pressers have been boring.
Fair enough. I've already spoken my piece on Izbits, so I'll give you that one. I will give you that one. I'm coming in with number five, Ren. Another one that it's probably not gonna make you mad, but I know this one's not on your list. Also because this one does not meet your criteria.
Another Buccaneers.comer.
Following in from Buccaneers.com, Carmen Vitale is ringing in at number five. And I'll tell you why. The work that she puts out at Buccaneers.com,
yeah,
I very much enjoy. Like the analysis of how she goes in and breaks things down. And gosh, what there was an article she had out the other day. What was it? You know, I'm not good at pulling up specific examples. But anyway, she is.
Don't
she
argue is with me those. Then.
She is one of those that, again, when I'm prepping for Buck in the News, mm-hmm. she is one of those that I go and I specifically look for what she has put out that week, because there's always a tidbit or something that she pulls out, or there's something it's not game film oriented, but it's something. Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoy her. The other side of Carmen Vitale is I really enjoy following her on social media. And I think she's got one of the best presences out there. She definitely interacts. I've always enjoyed her whenever she comes on various podcasts, including ours. And it's been too long since we've had her. We need to get her back on the show. But we're not doing a lot of media members this year. So by design for this particular year. But Carmen Vitale, she is a person who, like I said, and again, this is personal stuff. I enjoy following her and I enjoy the work that she puts out. And I think since she has come to Buccaneers.com, she has added so much to that website. And when you talk mm-hmm. about that yin and yang you were just describing with Steve Izbits and the rest of the media pool, or at least the guys over at Joe Buck's Fan, she is that yang to Scott Smith's
yin. Yeah.
You know what I mean? She brings everything that he doesn't. And I really, really enjoy that. And like I said, I really like what Carmen's putting out there.
Yeah. I think Carmen and I are fighting. I'm not sure. Everything you said is correct. You know, especially the yin and yang, the peanut butter and jelly, which her and Scott Smith are. She's a fun follow on Twitter. And when she talks, I don't learn anything. Mm-hmm. But I like sort of the way she puts things, kind of like with Scott, you know. It's like I don't really learn. Well, actually I do, because he's the fact machine, but you know, but the way she puts, when she talks about the Buccaneers, it's an enjoyable listen, even though I don't learn anything.
Yeah. You know what it is about, I think this is the best way. You know how we say whenever players and people like with the team go on podcasts, it's almost never a good listen. Like it's just,
I'm sorry, what?
You know when we say like when players like come on podcasts, like it's never terrible. Really a good listen.
It's terrible.
The one exception I will give that is when Ryan Jensen went on the Loose Cannons. That was a fantastic listen. But outside of that, I don't think that that's the fault of the podcast as much as it is, or the player. Players just don't know how to be guests when they go on. Like they're just boring.
It's the player's fault. No, because they're not trying to give anything up. And it's sort of this respect thing, and people are trying to be professional. And it's like, that's why the Jensen one worked. Like Ryan's kind of a loose cannon himself, you know, and they just kind of mix. They're like, what do you think about barbecue? You know, and they'll drop an F-bomb on him.
Right. And he'll laugh at it. And then
you get a little bit looser and you get a little bit looser and buff. And then the conversation goes, you know, more organic than Chris. Hey, Chris Godwin, can you tell me about your dog charity? You know, and that I don't care.
Right. So anyway, when Carmen interviews and talks to the players and the coaches, when she gets in there and gets those kinds of things, like I always enjoy those.
Yeah.
The way she pulls that out. So that's one of the biggest differences and probably one of the best examples that I can give. I remember the article she put out right after BA came on staff, and she was like the first person to get a sit down with BA. It was fantastic. It was just a great read as far as getting to know the new coach and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's my number five. Number four, Ren, who you got?
I may or may not have disregarded allbuccaneers.com.
Oh.
Because I knew Carmen was going to make my list. I didn't have to talk about it.
Fair enough.
Because.
But I made you do it anyway.
She's mad at me for something I didn't do. Anyway, or maybe I did. Anyway, where are we at?
Number four.
She started it. That's all I'm saying. Number four, I got Scott Reynolds.
All right.
I got the second senior member in the media room. His Fab not Five.
Not counting Scott Smith.
What?
Not counting Scott Smith.
He's not in the media room.
Right. Okay. Just checking. Just clarifying.
Sure.
He's got the Fab Five.
He's at the Fab Five, even though it can be painfully long sometimes, and the name is stupid, it's a must read week after week. He's spot on about what the Bucks need to do or going to try or what they should do or, you know, to help the team win or help the team to quit losing or to be more productive, or like he can do that. Plus, he's one of the very few people, and I think it's up to two people in that room that actually do draft work, you know, looks at players, looks at guys. He understands what he's looking at on defense. He understands what he's looking like on offense. Like, you know, he knows if it's quarter coverage or too deep or single high or zero. Like he knows all that stuff. So for the type of Buccaneers information I like to consume, like he's up there. He's one of the best. So that's why I got Reynolds at four.
I've got a feeling that our top four are going to be the exact same four names,
just in different orders,
maybe in a different order. And quite honestly, for me, you could have put these four in a bag, shaken the bag and tossed it out. And like, it's that close to me for these four.
Nope, not for me.
Not for you. For me, it is
one and two.
I'd give you that too. Okay, maybe one and two and then three and four. You could shake them and throw them out. But whatever. For me, I'm just saying for me.
I'm just saying not for me.
Okay, fine. For me, though, you really.
Carmen, I didn't do anything.
I enjoyed, wow, talk about interrupting. Jeez. And the murderer is.
Murder starts with M. My high school in Polk County, we were the Marauders. It was a pretty cool M emblem. I like the font. You think we could switch the font of PewterCast over there? Think we could switch the font over from the PewterCast to my old high school, the Polk City Marauders? Can we do that?
Yeah. Number four, making my list.
I'm just trying to help the pod, you know, looking number forward. Four. I don't understand why you're like being mean to me. But, you know, no one listens to hear me talk about my high school days.
All right, here we go. Hey, there we go. For those who are out there listening, I just muted Ren. It's okay. He can unmute himself. My number four.
Ha!
Oh, there he goes. My number four, John Ledyard, newest member in the Buccaneers media room. But my God, what John has brought. He obviously comes in to replace Trevor Sikkema, where Trevor left. Trevor would, I think, absolutely be in this group if he was still around. What John brings, though, is different than what Trevor brought.
Yeah.
And it is unique to who he is. It's more polished. But I think he also brings it from a different
because he hasn't been a Bucks fan his whole life.
Right. And when you talk about somebody who is coming in as a media member who is not a Buccaneers fan, I mean, that's John Ledyard. He is giving it to you straight down. This is how I see it. This is the way I'm analyzing. And it's analysis you can trust. And it's good analysis. And when you talk about that idea of learning something,
mm-hmm.
every time he gets out there and he talks, John Ledyard's it. And he is such a pickup, such a get for PewterReport.com as an organization, but also for Bucks fandom to bring in a guy of the caliber of John Ledyard. I when Trevor told me he was leaving, personally, my first thought was, who in the world is going to fill this hole? Because Trevor brought such a look, Trevor was 3-time Buccaneers Media Personality of the Year Award winner.
Mm-hmm.
And his votes were never close.
No.
I mean, Ren, you know the numbers. They were never close.
It was over like the first 2 hours the poll was open.
I mean, it was never close for what Trevor got. And that's nothing against anybody else. It's just Trevor generated that much.
Well, Cook should have filled that spot, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm not going there. John Ledyard, though, I think is what I don't know that there's too many other people that it could have come in and not just filled the shoes that Trevor left, but quite probably even upped the game quite a bit.
Oh yeah, definitely
came in. And John's impact has been at PewterReport.com has been felt throughout everything that they're doing. And Trevor did a lot to get Pewter Report rolling into kind of a more modern era. And John Ledyard has taken that up a notch. And I love everything he's doing over there. And I'm just glad that he is covering our team.
Yeah. And he comes in at my number 3.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And for everything you said, you know, and I'll tack on with the, we're really going to see sort of John shine even more when it comes to the off season, when it comes to the draft talk.
Sure.
Putting him and Scott together, you know, we had him on and, you know, I told him off air. I'm like the Pewter. Now it's a Pewter Report podcast. Yeah. Is almost unlistenable if you or Scott aren't on it. Like, you got to do something. And he's like, oh, we got something in the works. You know, he didn't agree with me. I don't want to sit there.
Right.
If anyone's listening, like, oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just became a bunch of people, you know, like talking at a bar and playing grab ass, you know, and a bunch of laughing and cackling and howling and no information. But what he's done through YouTube just alone. They've gone, like, they used to do two podcasts a week.
Now they're up to 4.
Yeah.
Sometimes more.
No, it was 1 a week. They used to do 1 a week.
Yeah.
1 a week. And then now it's up to 4 and it's all streamed on YouTube and they got Super Chat going. Yeah. And he's bringing in these people that are well respected to talk about, like their Thursday show, to talk about, you know, the Buccaneers, about their secondary, or talking about the offensive line, or, and like you said, and what's most important to me as consuming is I learned something new. Mm-hmm. And when John says something about a player, even if I don't agree with it, I know I have to start watching for that because he's not a fan.
Right.
It's just, you know, Devin White can't cover. He can't. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. You know, like, I sort of like looked at it and went, man, like I think he should be doing better. But as soon as John said it, I went, okay, I'm right.
Just keep in mind, I will just say this. John Ledyard picked the Chargers to win that football game. Now,
and
I think everybody was, I think the word that kept going around was bloodbath or shellacking or something of that nature. And that Chargers game was a lot closer than it should have been. But that's the only time that I tweeted back. And of course, obviously I was joking. I was like, he might need to be fired over that one. Suspended from all pods. But yeah, don't do that. No, John Ledyard, absolutely. Clocking in at number 3 for me is your number 4, Scott Reynolds, John's mm-hmm. boss. Look, Scott's been around, as you said, he's the second most senior member in that media room. He's been around for a super long time. And I know Scott can sometimes be a bit of a polarizing figure to some people out there. But when it comes to honestly holding my respect, Scott Reynolds, I mean, all 3 of these guys at the top have my utmost respect.
Right.
For what they do, the way they bring their coverage. You know, Scott is a guy who he's really the first person who said, I remember the very first time I had him on this pod, and it was before you were on, Ren. And I said, so how long have you've been covering for a long time? Like, how did you become a Buccaneers fan? How cool is that for you to be able to cover, you know, a team like this? And he just went, look, I'm not a fan.
Right.
And when Scott says he's not a fan, guess what? He's not a fan. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not even from this area, but he's not a fan. He's got his other fandoms, but he covers the team. He's been doing it faithfully. He covers the team well. And the other thing is Scott bears a lot of weight. you know, the things he says, I think tend to hold a lot of weight with a lot of people. And I don't know.
Reverberate through the halls of Advent Health Training Center.
Yeah. And I don't know, and I'm not there, but I don't know how much Scott saying it's time for Lovie Smith to go impacted Lovie Smith's firing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how often when Scott speaks, the powers that be listen or read, but I would think it's probably more than most people out there think. And like I said, Scott, he's a mover and a shaker. And the Fab Five, look, the biggest thing I would say about the Fab Five, Scott, if you're out there listening, that should be a podcast because it's really long. It's really, really, like if you just read it Paul Harvey style,
excuse me,
next page, page four or whatever. If you just read it, that would be a fantastic listen on a podcast every single week. And sell the
ads. No way that's happening.
I know they're not, but Scott, actually, I told him that once and he's like, just call me on Friday morning and I'll read it to you from my pool deck or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he loves that article, man.
Oh, sure. It's a great article. Really long. But you're right. It's required reading. It's a must read every single week. You have to read it, and not just the first point or the second point, like make it through. Cause it is always well worth your time.
First point or the second point is never my favorite part.
Fair enough.
It is. Enough. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So Scott Reynolds for me clocks in at number three. Ren, I know who your two are and I know who my two is.
Right.
I've got a feeling that I know how you put them, and I think ours are probably reversed. That's just that's a prediction. Let's let it out. Cat out of the bag. Number two for you, media Greg member in the Buccaneers room.
Greg Allman.
Yes.
Okay. We have them reversed.
Yes.
This was definitely, like Brent said, put two names in a bag and whichever one you pick come out. The only reason I gave it to Stroud was because I consume his podcast 5 days a week.
Fair
and
enough.
I just don't get enough of Greg. Greg is the guy that every time he tweets something, I learn something. Every time he does a radio hit, I learn something. Mm-hmm. Never loses his cool on Twitter. Is sneakily hilarious.
Yeah.
He's really funny,
yeah.
But you wouldn't know it. Like, you know, you got to kind of pay attention to what he's saying.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's just, you know, another sort of dictionary definition of a professional. And I'm glad he's here. And if you read something on Twitter about the Buccaneers, take it to the bank. If it's from Allman, take it to the bank because it's true.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. And he does like roster signings, you know, as the practice squad, he's the only one that really does that. When they protect players on the practice squad, he's the only one that does that.
Yep.
When they, after the draft, when they start signing their undrafted free agents, he's the guy to follow. So there's three or four niche things that Greg sort of has a grasp on in that media room, or that he's made his own. Which, you know, just makes him a must read, a must follow, and all those kinds of things. So, yeah. And the only reason, you know, again, is because I just don't get enough of Greg. I hear a lot more from Rick than I do from Greg.
Obviously, I have these two, and mine are flip-flopped and reversed. So, Ren, why don't you go ahead and talk about Stroud, just since it's there. We're talking about these two guys simultaneously, and just talk about you've already started talking about Rick, so go ahead and continue that, and then I'll chime in.
Sure. Stroud, again, you know, professional. He grew up here. He's been here. He was a great listen on the radio when he was with Tom Jones. And the reason I like to listen to him on the radio and Tom Jones together is because they're both writers. So that means they have to formulate their thought before they put it out. Because you got to formulate your thought, make it make sense, and then you type it out, right? So they're used to that process, where as a podcaster or somebody on the radio, you can just kind of blurt something out. And somebody challenges you on it, and you're like, well, you know, kind of, you know, I think, I feel. But they have, they are backing, they have reasons why they do it and what they're saying, and they back it up. And with Stroud's sources, you know, he's respected nationally. He should be our Hall of Fame voter, hands down. He was invited to the, you know, Hall of Fame voting room last year.
Right.
I think it might have been the year before.
Like it's been a couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been the year before. You know, he's nationally respected. Mm-hmm. You know,
look, when Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter look to Rick Stroud for breaking news, when he is a source for those guys, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Like when Rich Eisen wants somebody to talk about the Buccaneers, mm-hmm. he calls Stroud.
Right.
You know, he doesn't call anybody else. He calls Stroud. Uh-huh. Stroud's been on ESPN, you know, back like when First Take, whatever their first, when it was Cold Pizza or whatever. Uh-huh. Like Stroud was on ESPN like once a week for a while. You know, he's done that back and forth with Skip Bayless. He sat in that chair across Skip Bayless for a day.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, those are kind of the reasons why it tips for me to Stroud over Greg. But really, it just kind of comes down to personal preference.
Yeah.
You know, yep. It's like, I love them both. I love you both equally, my children.
Right. So here's my thing. So I've got those are my top two guys. I've just got them in a reversed order than what you have. First, Greg, who is my number one. And I've got, when you think of a professional media member, Greg Allman embodies that through and through with how he conducts himself. When you talk about a guy who, I mean, I don't know if Greg would consider himself a fan if he wasn't covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think he's from the area.
Yeah, he's from there.
But, you know, I mean, Greg is, this is the fact. This is what happened. Here it is. And he doesn't spin it. He doesn't put any weird deal out there. He doesn't word it in such a way that people like come back at him. He's like, yeah, I just put it out there. It's just fact. Like, right. He doesn't do any of that. No. Like, it, the way it comes out is exactly how it reads. And it's exactly what you need to know. And when you're talking about news, what happened today? Greg Allman is the guy that I personally go to first.
I go to first all the time.
Minute by minute. I mentioned earlier, Jenna Lane's one of those people I turn on whenever Buccaneers news is popping.
Right.
Be it free agent or draft or something like that. Greg is a guy who I leave on all year long.
Yeah.
Because it's you're right. The way that he gets people on Twitter is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
He is super funny.
Yeah.
And so it's I enjoy following him for those reasons more than I enjoy following Rick. But that's not to say that I don't like Rick. I obviously he's number two on my list.
Right.
You know, and when you talk about a guy who is respected, look, Rick Stroud is the only guy who gets to sit down yearly with the Glazers.
Not true.
Okay. Who else gets to sit down with the Glazers yearly?
Everybody.
Really?
At the owner's meeting, everyone gets like 5-10 minutes.
In a one-on-one situation?
Yep. Yes.
Really? Okay. Yes. Well, but Rick gets the separate one though. Like he gets that one where he gets
Super secret one.
No, like he gets like the separate one. Like he gets the okay, maybe he gets 10 minutes. I don't know, whatever it is. But like Rick was the only one that they talked to about the Jameis Winston thing.
That could be true.
Years ago, right? Rick is a guy who again, you talk about breaking news, Rick's right on it.
Yeah.
He's gonna get it. And you're right. If for Rick and Greg both, if they say something, you take it to the bank because that's how it is. And they're not gonna say it before it actually is true either.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be
two sources, you know, minimum.
Right, right. These guys know what they're talking about. So Stroud's one of those guys you just have to follow. There's something about Stroud on a personal level that I don't know that always rubs me the right way. Like when I listen to him on his podcast and different things like that, his analysis of the team, I don't always agree with.
Really?
I don't. No, I don't. There are times where I'm like, I think you're being a little too harsh.
Too Joe Bucks fanny.
No. The exact opposite of Joe Bucks fanny. But there are just things that I don't always agree with, but I don't care that I agree with that or not. I still respect his opinion enough to listen to it.
Yeah. And, he has enough gravitas where if he says something and I don't agree with it, I have to rethink my thinking.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, I might be wrong. Uh-huh. Like, and then I have to think about his point and where our points clash. And then I have to decide like, nope, Rick's an idiot. Or, you know, he might have something there.
Sure, sure. So that's my number two and one together. So that's why Greg gets the nod. But like sure. I said, for me, these top four, really, you put them in a bag and shake them up, and I could make an argument why any one of them should be in the 1, 2, 3, or 4 category spot. So
I can make an argument, but I would be lying.
Well, that's all right. All right, Red. Well, before we close out the show, I'll give you a chance for honorable mentions.
There aren't honorable mentions.
Because you were like trying to
put I was digging for people to make the list.
I get that. You know how you kind of did the scuttlebucks as a collective whole?
Yeah, yeah.
I really want to shout out the collective whole of the BucksNation.com team. They are as major of a force in the Buccaneers actual media world as almost everyone else we've talked about today. And what? Like we've looked at, I mean, you and I have both looked at the numbers for them. They are right up there with just about everybody else.
Oh, I don't look at the numbers.
Okay. Well, I do. They are as far as their influence and their pull and, you know, those guys for any game can apply for media credentials and be credentialed for media. That's the type of pool that they have. What keeps them out of this list for me is the majority of them receive their news the same way that we do through these people. Like they don't necessarily have the breaking news contacts or anything, but when it comes to what Gil has done for Bucks Nation.
Yeah. Now, yeah.
And they are on it with every bit of news that comes out and they are a trustworthy site as far as Buccaneer fans go. And they really are like, they sort of collate everything into one spot for you. Whereas like everybody sort of has their different thing and the Bucs Nation guys really pull it together. My personal favorite article every single week. And it's just, I just think it's a lot of fun. It's James Jarko's Pick Six. Mm-hmm. I've loved that article ever since he did it at Pewter Plank. Yeah, I think that's where he was. But it's a fun read. To me, it's just a fun read. It's quick, it's snappy, it comes out every week. But they didn't necessarily fit the criteria of what we had here, but I did want to at least give them a shout out as far as that goes.
Yeah, I wasn't going to. I consider them fringe media, but having you putting it saying like they could probably get credentials anytime they want to.
Yeah, there's no probably, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for a fact they do. So
okay. I'm at the Super Bowl then, I guess. I'm just kidding. But I owe Evan Winter from SB Nation an apology.
Uh-oh.
Because he came on the show.
Breaking news, folks.
Last Friday.
Uh-huh.
I was going to do it on Twitter, but I figured like fewer people would see it this way. he came on the show and said that Sean Payton and the defensive coordinator for the Saints, and I always want to call him Greg Williams, but it's not. Had the Bucs numbers, and he talked for like 2 minutes and regurgitated these very boring stats, but they were all negative against the Bucs. Like they score less when they play the Saints. They give up more points than they score play the Saints. They don't get as many yards. They don't get as many rushing yards. They don't get as many completions. Like he ran this whole list, and he was on the past three games against the Saints, which were all, you know, BA coached games. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, shut up, Evan. Like we didn't have Tom Brady and you had Jameis Winston and the defense wasn't what it was. And you don't have all the weapons now. And then the Buccaneers went out and put out that effort. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think Evan's right? No, I don't. But the evidence, I have no evidence whatsoever. Like I have no evidence.
We got to that spot with Jameis Winston. Where we're like, dude, we've been trying. You're giving me nothing to defend you.
You're giving me no ammo.
I'm trying to do that, but you know,
I'm dying on this hill because you won't bring me bullets.
Right, right. And the team's doing that with you as far as what you're trying to do with Evan. I get it.
Not that much. I like all those things I said. Why I don't think those stats are relevant.
Yeah,
I still think are true. But since I have no evidence whatsoever, and that performance really backed up what he was saying.
Yeah.
I have to say that he might be onto something, and I apologize, Evan, for calling you a stupid dumb face and cutting you off and saying that you were boring, which is still true. Shout out to Evan Winter of Sportsbook Nation, because he tried to warn me that Bruce Arians and his coaching staff can't match up against the Saints and Sean Payton's his coaching staff, and I told him he was wrong.
You two would be in a very interesting duo to have on a more regular basis. We'll see if we can't make that happen. But for now, Ren, that is going to close out our show here, talking about our top 10 Buccaneers media personalities. More distraction, I think, from the week than anything else.
Yeah, right.
Look, here's the thing. And I think bottom line comes to this with,
who is closest to making
Ren and it? We have benefited so much from the people that we've discussed today.
Oh, yeah.
The people we've discussed today. And frankly, we couldn't do what we do without any of them.
Hmm.
We couldn't do what we could do without them collectively as a whole. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
let me, you remember what you were saying earlier about the writers have to think about it and, and say, like,
formulate the idea before you speak.
Let me put the caveat words in there. But no, seriously, like, we couldn't do what we do without them. And true. So many of these guys, even the ones we may have made a little fun of, are actually really good friends of ours.
Yeah.
People that we have a ton of respect for. So it's a hard job that those media guys have because,
is it? You
know, let's face it, the Buccaneers aren't always forthcoming with information either. Yeah. And what these guys do to go out there and bring us the news
day in, job.
Day out, especially when they're not even in the building right now. Yeah. And they don't get any sort of locker room access or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's really a hat tip to those guys that do this on a professional level. So thank you to all of you guys. And you guys are awesome. Ren, with that, why don't we get out of here for today? Tell the folks where they can find you on the internet and all those media member people that you've talked about if they want to have a little conversation with you.
Sure. I mean, it's going to go exactly like you just heard it. What do you mean? Listen to the pod. That's exactly what I mean.
I guarantee.
Best place to find me is on Twitter at Rendax, RENDAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. The end.
If you guys want to get in touch with me, you can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. And the show is at The PewterCast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can email us to thepewtercast@gmail.com. Please keep in mind, anything you send us can possibly be used on an upcoming episode of The PewterCast.
The call may be recorded. And what's the second part?
Used for training purposes. And if you guys would like more of what we do, listen, we'll be back.
For other callers on how not to call.
Oh my God, Mark Cook.
What? Huh? Oh, he didn't make.
Yeah. Anyway, where was I? Oh, hey, listen, you guys want to join us Friday night?
Yeah, she is.
Friday night, we will be right back here to actually talking about the team and talking about all the news that has come out from all these lovely people we've just discussed today in our Buck in the News show. We'll recap everything that they've done as we take a look at this Carolina Panthers game. And then we'll be back Sunday afternoon, clocks at 000. We go live taking your phone calls for your reactions for the original post-game Buccaneers fan call-in show. You guys be sure to join us then. And until next time, guys, go Bucks.
I just call them like I see them.